Jerry and JT touched upon my message. What we're going to do is we're going to go to Revelation chapter 12, and we will read that chapter, and we'll read down chapter 13 down to verse 10. We'll read through it first, and we're going to go to Jude, but we're going to start here. So beginning with verse 1 of chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that heareth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. I started thinking about this a couple weeks ago, and this past Tuesday night, since we didn't have the fellowship over at Sanford due to Linda's surgery, I came over here and had our Thursday night fellowship. And this is, we talked about Jude. We went back to Jude, but we did read here in Revelation. And that was the same day that, you know, Paul asked me if I would, you know, do this Lord's Day. And got to thinking about it and thought, I just felt led like this would be a worthy message for this prayer service. Now, what we've just read out of Revelation can be taken a lot of different ways. Of course, we all know there's really only one truth. And I don't know all that is being said here. But one thing is very obvious to all of us is that there is an enemy in this world. There's more than one. And then chapter 12 appears to be an overview of things that have happened through the history of the world. And I'll tell you an interesting observation about, I believe this is true about the whole book of Revelation. I believe all but two or three chapters begin with the word "and." And if you look at these verses, almost all but one or two verses in chapters 12 and 13 begin with the word "and." And so it's not necessarily a chronological, things happening chronologically. It can be happening concurrently. But it is talking about, again, chapter 12, it's an overview of what has been happening and is happening in the world right now. And we can tell from it that there is an enemy to the people of God. There is an enemy to the church. And that is the devil himself. He is an enemy. Now, it is interesting that when you read about his heads and horns in verse 3, it's very similar to what we read about concerning the beast in chapter 13, verse 1. But there are two different descriptions. One is the devil himself. The other one is a beast who the devil gives his power to. My own thought on this beast is that it really is religion. It's religion. JT touched on it this morning. We've talked about it before. People go to these churches and they hear men get up and preach out of the Bible, but they don't preach the gospel. They preach something similar to the gospel. And those that are out there hearing it don't know the difference. Now, verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Well, these, and we're told in Jude about men who creep in unawares. They're unaware. They're in the church, and they've got there unawares. They're not blatant like an atheist, for example. Well, so these men are preaching in these churches. They're not preaching the truth, but the people hearing it think it's the truth. And so these preachers, these teachers, these pastors are leading people into captivity. They themselves are going to go into captivity. Now, those people who are sitting there listening to these false prophets, these false teachers, they're not really being led away by the pastor. You know, we're all accountable for our own sins. We all stand before God by ourselves, naked, without anything. They are there because they don't really want to know God. They really don't want to worship God. They like what they're hearing. It makes them feel good. Now, he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Well, that's what these pastors are doing. They're using the very word of God to kill these people. It's and they don't know the difference. Now, praise be to God. If God has anybody in those churches, just like all of us, we all were there at one time, and God led us to the truth and out of those churches to a place, to a pastors who proclaim the truth of God. We wouldn't have been able to do it without God. And we talked about that this morning. And it's happened in history before with the Church of Rome, and it's happening right now with the Muslims doing the very thing. Now, you know, there's a lot can be said about those two groups. The Puritans, of course, thought the Church of Rome was the beast. And well might be the beast, and certainly Antichrist, but and again, when I say that this beast, I think this beast, this multi-headed beast, is religion. Leading people astray. Now, yes, yes. Well, and what makes me think that is because the devil gives the beast his power. And we know that Satan is a liar. We know he hates God. We know that he knows what his end is. He knows there is no hope. I don't understand all that, but he is the one who is behind it all, and he uses men. Now, that brings us to Jude. And we're not going to read Jude. There's just two verses. Brother Jerry read one of them this morning. But in Jude wrote this short epistle to warn the church that, well, two purposes. One, to remind them, to bring them into remembrances, some things that has happened in the past. God led people, his people, out of Egypt and then killed half of them because of their unbelief. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angels that left their first estate. And we touched upon that in Revelation about Satan, about, you know, his tail drawing a third of heaven, a third of the stars of heaven. So Jude is warning that God has taken judgment on these people, on certain people or creatures, but there's going to be men creeping into the church leading people astray with heresy, with lies, with distortions of the word. But verse 24 and 25, and that's really what we're going to talk about, and we'll read them, verse 24 and 25. I don't know, will you say chapter 1 when there's no other chapters? Just Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So here we are in this world of wickedness. The whole world lies in wickedness. And we are a remnant of God's people. We're inundated with worldly things. We're inundated with temptations, trials, tribulations. And we have a God, though, who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless in his presence. So in spite of all this that's going on around us, and every one of us, we struggle. We have struggles every day in every kind of area. But we don't need to let it get us down. Our God is sovereign. Our God is almighty. Our God is going to keep us from falling and present us before him in his presence. And that's the thing. You know, when the angel came to Mary and told her who he was, that he stood before the presence of God. And I've marveled at that, and I thought, what an honor. Actually, I guess, well, it would be an honor, but what a blessing that is, that you can stand in the presence of Almighty God. And every one of us who has that Spirit in us, we can go to him now in prayer and in meditation, which is prayer. We can do it now, but one day we will do it physically. And so my whole purpose for this prayer service is for us to think about these things and realize that whatever else is going on in our lives, our God is doing a work in us to prepare us, whether it be through chastisement or through that period of peace and quietness and calmness. It's all of God, and it's all for his glory and for our good. And there should be nothing. And believe me, I'm not the world's, I've got a long way to go in this. There's times when I've been so depressed or so perplexed or vexation of spirit that I would lose sight of what the end of this life has in store for me and for everybody who is a child of God. We have every reason to praise God, to bless God, to go to him in prayer and seek his face and seek his blessings and to glorify him. And that's how we do. You know, we don't add anything to him. We simply honor him. We honor our God. That's it. That's what worship is. Honoring God. I mean, we know we don't add anything to God. I mean, we glorify him, but that's worshiping. Right. And it's like I've been talking to this friend, and God's never disappointed. God's never unhappy. He does not change. And what a comfort that is. In fact, I heard it this morning. You know, I mean, big Baptist churches with, you know, high dollar clergy and schooled, and yet there's a God of the Old Testament, and salvation in the Old Testament is different than the salvation and God of the New Testament. Well, and that's about what he said, almost. I mean, not quite that way. Give him enough time, he probably would have. Or if the mic wasn't on, that's probably what he would have said. But we know differently. And so with that in mind, and again, you know, it's kind of a short message, but, you know, again, it took all morning because JT had to give his and Jerry, and they both dovetail with what I'm saying. Exactly with what I'm saying. It's that sovereignty of God, that goodness of God, in the fact that God, and Brother Paul stresses this, he brings it up a lot, I'll put it that way. It's God working in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. It's going to happen. And we're totally responsible for it. And God's totally sovereign. And given that, it should be common for us to go to God in prayer and to praise Him and to thank Him for all that He's doing in us. And to ask for His mercy and blessing. He wants us to do that. He knows, we know, that He's quite capable of doing it. But He still wants us to come to Him. You know, something that's amazed me for years, and I brought it up the other day, in regard to prayer, is that Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed a lot. And yet Jesus had no sin. And Jesus was God. Did He pray? How much more do we need to pray? So I will begin, and then let us feel led to pray. Pray. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for the day. Grateful, Lord, for a place to come together with your people on your day to not only hear your word, to hear the truth proclaimed, Lord, but to join in the fellowship with each other because we are your people. And Lord, when we leave this place, we go to our own abodes. We go to work. We go outside of here. And Lord, we're with those of the world. But here we can come and fellowship with the people who we will be with for all eternity. And Lord, we're grateful. We are grateful for that. Lord, there are places in this world now, many places, where your people worship you, and they do it at the risk of their lives or the risk of their livelihoods or some other tragedy that will come upon their family simply because they worship you. And here we are in a country where we can freely do it. And you are to be thanked and praised for that, Lord. The day may come when we might not have this opportunity. And Lord, how wonderful it is, how comforting it is to know that you are a sovereign, almighty, holy, righteous, and good God, that you are the only true and living God, and that everything you do is for your glory and for the good of your people. And Lord, we ask that you forgive us for not trusting you. We ask that you forgive us when we become overly concerned about things, Lord, that we can't change at all. Lord, we ask that you forgive us for not coming to you with all things and expressing, Lord, our anxieties and our weaknesses and our lack of faith and our unbelief, seeking your blessings, seeking your presence in our life. Lord, we know that we have your Spirit. We know, Lord, that that Spirit is holy. We know, Lord, that that Spirit does not sin. And Lord, we know that that Spirit is who is working in us to bring us more and more to Christ-likeness, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we cannot add anything to you, nor can we take anything from you. But Lord, it is our desire to honor you in all that we do, say, or think, and to please you with our life. Lord, we ask that you be merciful to us. We ask, Lord, that you give us the grace to always have you in our mind and to do all things to both honor and please you and to be a witness for you everywhere we go and in all that we do. Lord, we do also lift up those who are not here today. Dale and Tracy, Paul and Dorothy and Joyce, who is ill. We ask, Lord, that you would bring healing to her, restore her health, that she can fellowship with us, that she be with the others, Lord, that they will return back to us. We lift up Brother Turning Bear to you, Father, and you've not heard the latest about him, but Lord, we know that he has a long recovery, and he's had his ups and downs, but Lord, there is nothing beyond you that you cannot heal. We thank you for the good reports we have had of him. We thank you for the faith that he and his wife have displayed, and pray, Lord, that should anything befall us like that, that we would too be steadfast in our faith. Father, we do pray for those overseas, those that live in the Islamic countries, those that live in China, those that live in the Philippines, those that live in areas, Lord, where worshiping you is a crime, where worshiping you is can bring the wrath of religious people down upon them, people who don't worship you. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that they can remain steadfast in their faith. We pray, Lord, that the faith that they have would be a witness to those around them, to show them that this faith that they have in you is a real faith and would be a testimony to the work of your Spirit in their lives. Help each one of us, Lord, to have that same kind of faith in this country. And Lord, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory. Amen.